In April, our newsroom got an email from Wade Goodwin, our longtime correspondent in Texas. He wrote, "Since 1991, I've been hitting deadlines, and today is my last day. I've loved it, and all of y'all, completely. I've got nothing but love."
Today, we lost Wade. He died of cancer in Dallas. He was 63 years old. NPR's Debbie Elliott remembers his reporting and his singular voice.
Wade Goodwin's soothing bass had a way of pulling you a little closer to the radio.
It's 4 p.m. on Saturday, and it's scorching in Tyler, Texas's Bergfeld Park. 97 with humidity so thick you're sweating in seconds.
A profile once described his voice as warm butter melting over barbecued sweet corn. But Wade argued it was his writing that really mattered. And he was right. If his voice pulled you in, his storytelling kept you listening.
Wind your way down Enterprise Street to the poor section of Lake Charles, where a row of shotgun houses sit close. Here you'll find the damage that's not going to be so easy to fix. Irma Chavez, in her 60s, is sweeping up glass on her porch, and like many who stayed behind, she's desperate for a cigarette.
I wish y'all had been coming back to kick me in the ass to buy me some cigarettes, but I guess the Lord might want me to quit.
He's transported us to Lake Charles with telling details that illuminate just what people are going through after a hurricane.
In Louisiana, you hug your NASCAR teddy bear when the big blow comes, even if you're a barrel-chested National Guardsman.
You know, Wade was a poet.
NPR senior editor Steve Drummond.
The little detail, the little color or sound that he'd seen out in the field, and it just made what he said sparkle. And then you combine that with that he had this great, big, deep, rich voice, and it just made it a pleasure to listen to him on the radio. Even if he was talking about something bad, you kind of wanted to listen to it because Wade told the story. He was just an amazing storyteller.
Radio storytelling is what pulled Wade Goodwin into journalism. He'd been a history major at the University of Texas, a natural field of study for the son of noted historian Lawrence Goodwin. Out of college, Wade left Austin to work as a political organizer in New York City. There, he got hooked on NPR member station WNYC. He told Current magazine in 2016 that he was so absorbed by the voices and stories he heard, he decided to pursue a freelance public radio career back home in Texas. His first big assignment came in 1993.
Good morning. The FBI today begins the search for bodies in the ruins of the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas.
NPR assigned him to cover the standoff between the federal government and cult leader David Koresh.
As a wintry dawn broke over the central Texas landscape on February 28th, agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms rushed through their preparations for the assault on David Koresh and his followers in the Branch Davidian compound. They were spurred on by the knowledge that the element of surprise they'd been counting on was gone, and that heavily armed cult members were likely awaiting them a few hundred yards away.
It was the first of countless tragic news events Wade would bear witness to. Mass shootings at churches and schools, the Boy Scouts sexual abuse scandal, and right at home, the ambush killing of Dallas police officers in 2016.
Wade, let's start with you. Can you just give us an idea of what this city has been through this morning?
It's been a very rough day, the roughest day the city has had in some 50 years.
He had a knack for politics, doing profiles over the years of a host of rising political stars from Texas, among them George W. and Laura Bush, Rick Perry, Ted Cruz, Dick Cheney, and Beto O'Rourke. But for Wade, some of his most rewarding work was covering breaking news, which he told Current magazine offered rich opportunities for meaningful journalism. One of his biggest stories was the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. Domestic terrorists had set off a truck bomb at the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, killing and injuring hundreds, including kids in a daycare.
Well, you know, I think it's trite to say a community is hit hard by any disaster, but this small, what is really a small Midwestern town, has really taken the tragedy very hard, and especially the deaths of these children seems to have shaken everybody.
NPR managing editor Vicki Walton James says Wade brought a distinctive voice to the network's breaking news coverage.
He was really good at infusing humanity into those situations that sometimes people just want to turn away from. They don't want to think about them. And he was able to put you in the place and to help you understand what had happened to someone and what the broader implications were.
She says he also had a passion for stories about injustice.
He wanted to get people the help that they needed, and he wanted to help right wrongs.
Like the story of James Lee Woodard, who came to Wade's home studio in Dallas for an interview.
The very same day he'd been exonerated and gotten out of jail, my two big dogs, Miles and Rosie, came running into the room with stuffed toys in their mouths to demonstrate just what fine guard dogs they were. Miles jumped up and gave James Lee a big smooch right on the lips. "Come on, guys, leave the man alone," I said. "Get out of here." Woodard stopped me, saying, "No, I love dogs." "I guess it's been a while," I said, regretting the words as they came out of my mouth. Woodard teared up. 27 years, he whispered, as he got down on both knees to play with Miles and Rosie. I stood there a while and watched, and then sat. "Take your time, Mr. Woodard," I said. "The interview can wait."
Wade was eager to share Texas cultural gems and bits of forgotten history and folklore. That earned him a bit of a cult following among NPR listeners who flat out loved the way he could spin a tale.
Joe Bowman was so good with a single-action revolver, he could turn an aspirin into powder at 20 yards. Bowman could take a playing card, set it on edge, and peel it in two with a single bullet.
Spanning three decades with NPR, Wade Goodwin gave voice to much joy and also much trauma. As he reflected 25 years later on the toll of the Oklahoma City bombing, Wade gave listeners a glimpse of what it was like to consider all that he'd seen.
"When I tried to record the narrative for the story, describing the bagpiper playing Amazing Grace, my throat closed up at that part and I couldn't go on. I told the recording engineers to give me five, and then tried again. To my frustration, I choked up a second time. Eventually, I got through it, but someone must have called my editor, and a few minutes later, the phone rang. 'It's time to go home,' he told me. 'No, no,' I insisted. 'I need to stay. I think there's other conspirators.' He was having none of it. 'You've done a good job, Goodwin. Go home to Texas.' And so I did." Wade Goodwin, NPR News.
Good job indeed, Goodwin. Find rest at home. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Our late correspondent and friend, Wade Goodwin, is survived by his wife and two daughters.